I did not expect that video to do well. I thought it would flop. I woke up the next day and I was like, what is going on? Am I dreaming? I'm on like 150,000 followers. Like, I've just spent months and months slowly grinding. And then all of a sudden this one video has taken off and I'm like, what's happened here? This one small fact meant that they all went to my account and followed me because they just appreciated that small bit of knowledge. And I was like, well, if they appreciate that, there's so much more I can teach them about. And yeah, it kind of gave me inspiration for many more videos. So that was the one thing. And I'm glad I put it out because I was literally thinking, I don't know if this is even worth it, really.
Noah Brierley gained 1 million followers in 1 year on TikTok by teaching you what school doesn't. Oh, and this was before he even graduated high school. In this episode, Noah tells us exactly how he did it and breaks down actionable insights that you can apply to your short form content today. His success is proof that TikTok is so much more than what people think it is, and it might be a good time to start teaching via short form content. My name is Tom Boyd, and this is the show that explores how storytellers are building brands online. From the creative process, the mental frameworks, to the monetization strategies, I am fascinated about how these individuals are building brands around their individualities. In this show, we learn what's working so we can apply that to our own mission. Hey, and while you're here, if you feel like it, hit the Apple Podcast link, give your boy a review. It sends the podcast to more people, which means more people will see the show, which means we get more resources to make more shows. Enough about me. Let's get into the convo. We're on the line with Noah. And Noah Brierley, is that how you pronounce
the
name?
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. Well done. That's good.
My man, one take Tommy.
That's what he called it.
My video over the other day, it got 12,000 views, and I was feeling myself. I was feeling really good about this. I checked in on Noah's account, and I was like, because I was like preparing for the interview. And he went from 800,000 followers the last time I looked at it, and now he's at 1.2 million at the time of this recording. So my video with 12,000 views, it didn't feel so popping anymore. But no, let's talk about it. Let's talk about your creative process.
Tell
me first off, why is it important for you to teach people what they don't know in school?
Well,
or what they don't teach you in school.
Yeah, so like, I don't know, I think it was earlier on, like in lockdown, I started realizing a lot of stuff, because obviously I'm getting to the end of school. I've literally just finished school here in the UK. I'm done now until college, and I just realized like
you're 19?
I'm 16.
16? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, 16.
Bro,
it's a bit different how school works.
You know what's so crazy
here
to me? You know what's so crazy to me? The way that the technology is built these days, you are a thought leader in how content is created. And it's so wild. Like, you're teaching people that are half twice your age how to operate on this platform because you are an expert in this thing. That's what's so fascinating about technology. It's evening the playing field. But keep going.
Yeah. So basically, I realized, look, a lot of this stuff that I needed to know for when I leave school, and basic stuff like taxes, or just things like when can you move out, or how can I make money, how can I manage my money, all of that sort of stuff. I realized school kind of taught me a lot of stuff that I didn't really quite need to know, and they missed out a lot of important stuff. And I think, like, originally on my TikTok, I talked about sort of the pure money side, how can you make money. But then I realized if I wanted to expand my reach, and because I realized it was connecting with a lot of teenagers, because that's sort of a niche that they wanted to know about, because school doesn't really teach them about making money. But then I realized if I maybe broadened my reach and my following to everything that school doesn't teach you, number one, it gave me a lot more creative opportunity, but it also gave me a lot more opportunity to grow and reach more people. And it worked really well. That's kind of where I got teaching you what school doesn't really teach you. And I think it worked well with TikTok as well, because you'll see, like, we're getting older people on TikTok now, but mainly, especially the beginning, it was just younger people. So I feel like that's probably why they've been able to relate.
Well, here's the truth. Here's the truth, man. I'm a little older than you, and there's a lot of people that still don't know those things that you're teaching that school doesn't teach people. And honestly, there's stuff I'm watching your TikTok. Like, oh, interesting approach. So where are you getting this information? Because here's sort of the thing that's so fascinating about you, right? You're 16 and you're creating content. You're teaching millions of people online. Effectively, you're like actually giving people this value on a daily basis. Yeah. Now, usually when you're 16, you think, oh, I don't have any insights to share with the world. I'll wait till I'm 45, right? But now we have people that are 45 saying, well, I have all these insights and these experiences, but I don't know TikTok. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I don't know how to get in front of the people. Now, you've managed to do both of these things that a lot of these people put on these limiting beliefs on, saying, I can't do that. So tell me, where are these ideas coming from? When you first started these, are you just, you know, like, can we go into the creative process of how you make your videos a little bit?
Yeah. So what I tend to do is, look, I'll admit, I came into this process as a complete noob. I basically knowing nothing, you just
gotta start somewhere.
I got to start somewhere, exactly. But yeah, like, it's kind of, I think I've talked about it with you before, but you just need to be like one step ahead of someone else. If you just have that one bit of facts, one bit of knowledge that you can teach someone, people will love it. So my creative process for actually like making a video, I have a few different methods, and like the ones that I've used recently have worked very well. But firstly, so I think, what am I going to make a video about? It's about what school doesn't teach you. That's the basic thing that I'm working from. I'll sit down with a blank sheet of paper at first and just block everything out and just let my mind become empty, or maybe go on a walk. And then I just start coming up with ideas. Also in the day, if I'm thinking of stuff just in conversation, or a lot of the time I'll just be scrolling on TikTok and come up with ideas. I'll write it down immediately. Otherwise, I know I'll forget it. And I'll just come up with ideas around sort of what would teenagers find useful. And like, a few of them have worked really well. But, you know, even in just conversations with people, like, I was having a conversation with my dad about this guy, Darren Brown, who's a hypnotist. He told me a really cool trick, and I was like, that could be a cool TikTok video. We made the video. It got 4 million views. So it's just like simple things like that. Your everyday life, I just get bits from everywhere. And naturally, I think I am quite a creative person. You've got to be fairly creative if you're a content creator, and find ways to mix up content. But once you've started making content, it kind of spirals and you get more and more into it. You see what other people want. You can kind of like redo your old videos and make them better because you're learning at the same time. And people tend to appreciate that. So I'd say it's become quite easy now. At first it was kind of harder, but the more you do it, the more you kind of learn about what works, what doesn't work, and what people appreciate.
That's something I noticed too. And you think that there's just like this, you know, there's this couple ideas that are just right in front of you, but it's like, what's the analogy? Maybe like holding a flashlight in like a dark room. Like every time you like move it somewhere, like, oh, you realize there's some more stuff there. That's not the perfect analogy, but I've noticed that too. The more you make, the more ideas you get, because you get that feedback loop of the audience, and then you start to see what works in your mind, and you start to kind of have this, this like, what's the confirmation bias, or, you know, what's it when someone buys a car, a red car, and all of a sudden they start seeing more red cars? Like all of a sudden see a good idea, you start seeing more good ideas.
The world kind of like shifts around you.
So when you come up with the ideas, you're just writing them down on a notepad, and then just record them that day, or do you wait until you have 10 ideas and then one day you film all the videos at once?
Here's what I do. I'll come up with like, I'll jot down ideas on my phone. So I'll get a list of ideas. Also, quickly to mention, another great way that I find to get ideas is look at people that do similar videos to me. I'll see a great video from them that's performed well, but I think, how could I have done that better, and kind of use that as inspiration. So I've got all of these ideas and lists. What I'll do is I'll wake up in the morning, I'm ready to go, I'll look at these, and then I'll just start typing out the scripts on my notes on my phone. That's all I do. I type out the scripts. I find for some reason in the morning, my mind just instantly is ready to go for it. I'll have maybe like, you know, I can do like 10 in a day if I really get down to it. And obviously now I don't do school, I can manage that. So I've got them all down. I put them on my Google Notes. I go into the studio here. We use that bit over there. And then I use a teleprompter app with a phone that hooks up to the camera. And I just have like a little scrolly thing. And then I'll just bash them out all in one go and put them on my Mac, edit them up. It's actually a really quick process, the more I've done it. So that's kind of my process for making the videos. And I'll batch them as well. I'll batch them all in one go.
You know what's crazy? And this is for aspiring TikTokers. And I meant to kind of preface this video. So anyone listening and Noah, I'm framing these questions through those two different people that I talked about a little bit ago. Mm. Maybe a 16-year-old that doesn't think that they can teach. And then a 45-year-old that doesn't think that they can learn TikTok, right?
So
the questions that I'm framing, right, they're to hopefully provide value to that person that's listening Oh, maybe I'm a surf instructor and I want to put my ideas on TikTok. Well, you can, and that's what we're gonna uncover here talking to Noah. Something I noticed for even me, I started taking TikTok seriously about 2 weeks ago. It was an afterthought. It was like a place where I was like, I'll put on Instagram Reels and YouTube. And then I started putting them on TikTok and I started getting more results. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll pay attention there. And then more recently, I was like, all right, I'm actually going to like try a little bit on this platform. Yeah. So I'm trying right now. But what I noticed is the more you do it, like there's these two things that happen. One, you start to get a following. But two, it just becomes so much easier. So going from idea to publishing a piece of content, it gets easier as you go. So this is an example of this. Someone, I think Naval Ravikant talks about this. Joe Rogan, right? When he was starting his podcast, it was probably very hard for him to like learn how to set everything up. You know, it took a lot to start and finish each show, edit it, like go through the whole process. It was so basically what I'm saying is it was harder at the beginning and he had no views. Now on his 3,000th podcast, it's easy. He doesn't even have to think about it and he's getting millions of dollars. So it's like this inverse relationship that the more you do it, you have to work less and you get paid more.
exactly. It's like that. And you'll find that with TikTok as well. At the beginning, it was a bit of a struggle. It was like, you know, getting out this content, and I wasn't really popping for quite a long time. In fact, I started TikTok I started TikTok on the 20th of June, so less than a year ago. And I kind of had like 10,000 followers, 20,000 followers for a while. But I wasn't really growing much. I kind of grew a bit and then kind of paused and nothing was really happening. And then
how long would you say?
It was like a 3-month period. I was like just not growing and I was how much, consistently putting out
how much
content.
Were you posting? How much were you posting at the time?
Trying to do like every day, probably at least 4 videos a week though. Nowadays I can do every day, but back then I had
And in hindsight, now that you know more, what would you say attributed to the lack of growth at that period?
Firstly, my content was a bit all over the place. I didn't really have a focus like I do now, teaching what school doesn't. I was making like one video would be about one thing and then the next would be about a different thing. And also, I was filming videos like on my phone and they were taking a very long time to just make the whole videos because I would just waffle in them. I'd say like, hey guys, in today's video, this is blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, the content that I make is a lot shorter. And back in the day, I would make videos up to 1 minute long. Nowadays, you'll be lucky if I pass 30 seconds. The best sort of content time for me is 20 seconds. That's what I see works. So I've learned a lot of stuff about the algorithm that's changed everything. But I'm kind of more focused.
All right, well, that's why we're here. So less than a year ago, you just started. You just said that, right? Now we're a year in and you're at 1.2. So you just talked about this version of you that didn't know much about how TikTok worked.
Nice.
Now I would say you're a bit of an expert. I think we can stamp that. We can approve that, right? So let's talk about a couple of the main things that you've learned in that last year about how TikTok works. So one was videos less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, you got to keep that, less than 30 seconds. Yeah, like
what's the time frame that's like you're like that you aim for when you're writing?
So I'd aim for the shortest amount of time possible, from 15 seconds to 25, 30 seconds. If the video is like insanely engaging and people will love it and you would watch the whole thing, 60 seconds, because you've got to put yourself in the mind of someone who's wanting to scroll. Would I scroll by now? Would I have scrolled? So I've found the sweet spot. It's about 20 seconds. Like my best performing videos have been about 15 seconds long because people will replay them. And yeah, so that's the sweet spot you want to get. And with a short form video, you've got to think about how can you put as much information in that as possible without waffling. I like to call it waffling. It's where you add extra words in or pauses. So you'll find in my videos, there's like milliseconds. I will not have any milliseconds of silence. I need constant flowing and talking. But if I do use silence, it will be like powerful. It's not going to be annoying. It's going to be there for a reason.
You're using silence on purpose if there's any pause, any silence there.
Yeah.
So we got two things right now. About 15 to 25 seconds, cut the waffling. No waffling.
Cut it. Just
no
get rid of it.
No unneeded space. Get rid of it. Yeah. Get it out of here. Okay. Yeah, exactly. What else?
Well, if we're talking like the structure of the video, I'd say like what worked for me, it might not work for everyone, but it's definitely a form that everyone should try, is the conversation style. And for some reason, I don't still don't quite know why, but a conversation on TikTok, if you're playing two characters, and I've done this with my dad where he plays a different character, but most of the time it's just me. I'm saying, how can I make money as a teenager? And then I'll look the other way, cut the clip, and then it'll be me responding. People don't want to like scroll when they're hearing a conversation. They feel like they're eavesdropping in on it and they want to just keep on listening. So for some reason, you'll see like conversation videos naturally, if they're put together well, and obviously I can do that well because I've got the setup here. I can trim them nice and make them flow like a conversation that flows even better than real life. People just want to watch and watch. And then at the end, I'll say like, that's why I follow Noah on TikTok. It is annoying, but it's worked. Like I would find it annoying, but at the end of the day, it's got so many people to follow me. I just had to include it in. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I got to note something. You and I talked a couple of weeks ago, and as soon as you told me about that conversation format, I did it, and I immediately had my highest performing video. So I can attest that there is something natural to that. And yeah, it's probably the natural curiosity in us as humans to want to eavesdrop, to want to, if someone says one thing to another person, you got to close the gap. Like that curiosity loop opens and you got to close that. So now you're talking about what I call is like on-camera branding, where it's like verbal branding in a video, and you do it. You're one of the best at doing it, like, because you do it like, really? I wouldn't say it's annoying, because you're very efficient at doing it. You get in and you get out, so I follow Noah on TikTok give me the whole line, because he teaches what you don't learn in school.
So I might say, how do you know this? And then I'd go, I just follow Noah. He teaches what school doesn't. I used to say I follow Noah on TikTok, but I'm trying to move to Reels. So I'm trying to I follow Noah
because he teaches what school doesn't. Yes. Dude, that is just great copy. He teaches what school doesn't. Immediately, yeah. I know what you're all about. Is that necessary? Do you think I should start adding that to my videos?
Yeah, but I'd say give it a go, because I just experimented and I saw I was converting a lot more when I did add that little catchphrase. Because I said, like, I just follow Noah and that's it. But when I put, he teaches what school doesn't, it saves them having to, like, kind of go, who is this guy? What's he talking about? And it kind of just works like that. So getting your branding within your videos, it kind of just makes it a lot easier for people to understand.
five words. I'm going to aim for that. I'm going to aim for five words. And I think the beauty of the beauty of that too is you're getting people to follow you that are interested in that. So what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for success in the future. It's not just random people on the internet that aren't interested in your content, which sometimes happens on TikTok.
You follow
someone like, oh, they had one video. They know your niche. They know what you're talking about now. And they're like, okay, I'm invested in this. So the next time you post that, they know that you're going to teach them what school doesn't. So they're bought in.
And that's the beauty.
That's the beauty. All right, what else? What else? What else does someone need to know if they're trying to level up on TikTok? We learned that it has to be 15 to 25, cut the waffling, some verbal branding in the video, conversation style. Yeah. Oh, you know what I noticed about yours?
Yeah, go on.
And I've been experimenting with this more is you don't – a lot of people try to maybe over-edit on TikTok. They use all the B-roll. They use stock footage, photos. And I realized that because I experimented. I was like, maybe I could just do it only text. And the only text video had my most views. I was like, oh, I'm wasting all this time getting all this dang stock footage. So tell me about that. What's your thinking on that? Is that necessary or are you purposely not doing that?
I think for the sake of videos on TikTok, people aren't really coming for a full edited film. They just want the information. They're just really listening to what you say. And so with regards to how I edit my videos and structure them, I like some people when they do conversations will literally change costumes to make it more comical and stuff. I don't even bother with that because my main thing is getting them out efficiently. But what I do is I will put text in the videos, and I just saw, I don't know who it was, but someone said, if you put text in your TikTok videos, basically captions for what you're saying, a lot more people will watch the videos the full way through because number one, they're reading it, which psychologically they want to keep on reading. But number two, some people watch on a low volume. They don't want to quite hear it all. So I think that's worked well. I've just put text in all my videos. It does take a long time to do, but it is probably the most time consuming part. And with your text, you need to just bear in mind, people don't want to read too much. So don't paste like a massive paragraph in. I try to keep it to three lines, nice and simple, easy to read, not too big, just there if they want to read it. And yeah, I just keep a simple setup. It's easy as that. And another really important thing to bear in mind with the simplicity of your video is if you're keeping it simple, it will allow you to post more. And so I've had like seasons where basically most of my growth has been in very short amount of time. So I've grown like hundreds of thousands of followers in days. And those days are the days that I've put out 4, 5, even 6 videos in a day, because I've been fully grinding them out, batching, and just releasing all at once. People think, oh, is it better to put them out? Maybe if I make 6 videos, is it better to just put them out one a day? I would disagree. I'd say put them out all in within 15 minutes of each other. It's worked so well for me on TikTok because you'll find one of those videos will do well, okay? And that will push the other videos up as well that wouldn't have done quite as well. And I just find the chain reaction of just if you put out a lot of videos in a day, it will work. And I'll put out like 3 videos. One of them will get 1 million views. The next day I'll put out 3. Another one will get 1 million views. And then it just spirals and spirals. And those are the seasons where I've just put out like a week full of those videos. And it's what I did recently. And it exploded my account. So I'd recommend doing that. And as long as they're fairly short videos, it shouldn't actually be too hard to do that.
Interesting. Now, did you shoot all those videos with the intention to do that, or were you repurposing some of those?
I shot all those videos basically because I had a lot of free time. And so the last time I really grew in following was a school holiday. So I had a bunch of time. I made a bunch of content. And then I slowed down.
Holding you
I had
up,
exams.
Man.
Yeah, exactly. school. In fairness, like it was tricky creating content when I did have school regularly.
How meta is that? teaching what school doesn't, and the thing that's stopping you from teaching more of what school doesn't is
school.
Lo and behold.
Yeah, exactly. School. I mean, it was tough on school.
There's a lot of great stuff about school, but we appreciate guys like Noah that are teaching us what we don't know in school. Now, talk to me about that. The first time that you made that jump from 10,000 to 100,000. I think in our first chat you said overnight you got 100,000.
Yeah,
you woke up to 100,000 new followers.
Yeah, so I was on
what video was that?
Okay, so I was on 50,000-ish followers. It'd been a long time building up. You know, maybe like a couple hundred followers in the day. That was like an average, maybe 10 followers. Then I switched the content up. I applied this new strategy where I put out a ton of short form conversational style videos in this studio with the new setup that I managed to get through my dad. And there it was this one video, which was when can you move out as a teenager? The reason I made this video was because I think someone commented it on a previous video. And I thought, well, surely someone can just Google that. It's really simple, but I needed content to make. I wanted to be consistent. So I was like, you know what? I'll just make it. It's what the follower wants. So I made it. It was might have been 15, 12 seconds. It was basically me saying, when can you move out as a teenager? I think the reason the video did well, I didn't realize it at the time, is because it shocked a few people because they didn't realize there's a way to move out before you're 18. So that kind of sparked the interest. I did not expect that video to do well. I thought it would flop. I woke up the next day and I was like, what is going on? Am I dreaming? I'm on like 150,000 followers. Like, I've just spent months and months slowly grinding. And then all of a sudden this one video has taken off and I'm like, what's happened here? I saw that video was doing really well. I looked, why is this video doing so well? I looked at the comments. All of these teenagers were tagging their mates saying, I'm moving out. And then they were all following me because this one small, simple little fact that I gave them, this one small fact meant that they all went to my account and followed me because they just appreciated that small bit of knowledge. And I was like, well, if they appreciate that, there's so much more I can teach them about. And yeah, it kind of gave me inspiration for many more videos. So that was the one thing. And I'm glad I put it out because I was literally thinking, I don't know if this is even worth it, really.
Man, that is the beauty of just having the attitude of I'm going to publish. I'm publishing. It's not, you're not looking at one video at a time. You're looking at the whole catalog. If you don't post the whole catalog, you don't get to that video. And that's the importance of just having that mindset that you're going to think publish over perfectionism. Yeah. My question is, so that video pops off. You're looking at it. In the process, do you have a goal? Are you writing down your goals? Are you saying by the end of the year, I want to get this amount of followers? At the end of the year, I want to do this. What's driving this boat here?
It's interesting with the goals. my original goal with TikTok was to get like 10,000 followers in a year. Because I'd been doing YouTube for a long time and it was like 100 followers was like a massive milestone for me on YouTube. TikTok,
you were like,
it surprised me.
10K. Yeah.
So I was hoping by now I'd be on 10K. So 1.2 mils like far exceeded my goals. So I feel like I've just gone with the momentum of TikTok and it's like surpassed my goals. So like it's tricky with that because I'd say like I've probably haven't given myself the highest goals. I've just learned and then I've been like, oh, this works. So I'd say my goal at the moment is just be consistent, try and provide value, and just don't give up on it, because there might be like seasons where like the views aren't popping as much as I'd hope or something, but it's those seasons you just have to get through and then it will work even better. But yeah, I think my goal is just to, at the moment, keep on building the following and, you know, like expand my content to new levels and, get involved with more stuff outside of this studio here, but obviously keep on making the content. And I've got lots of fun stuff planned this summer. So yeah, like just keep on watching, man.
Well, the beauty about what you're doing is you could batch I mean, potentially you could spend a whole week in that cave.
Yeah.
And just batch, you know, 100 pieces of content.
Yeah.
You know, potentially, you know, once some money comes in, send to an editor, have them do it, right? And then you could go take on like other projects and keep the and keep the page going. Now, here's a question. So you're talking about, you know, you have this audience now. How do you think about the audience? Because you said something about Instagram. Like, how are you going to continue to you know, a lot of people look at an audience, it's like, okay, that's a really awesome goal. It's an awesome goal because if you're not building your own audience, you're helping someone else build their audience. You know, so most creative people are paid to help build other people's brands because they have the leverage. They have an audience. Now you have a good bit of leverage because you've built your own audience. So how are you thinking about it now? You said that you're talking about other platforms.
So my goal at the moment, it's what I'm going to try and move to. I've always been a bit weak on my Instagram game, in fairness, but I'm trying to, what I'm going to be doing is saying probably at the end of videos, and I've done this before and it worked quite well, but making kind of slightly longer videos than TikTok, posting them on IGTV, and then getting directing people over to my Instagram. I feel like if you get a following on Instagram, it's easier to feel more connected with your audience because of the polls and the stories. And I love doing, I think that's my favorite thing about Instagram is the stories, and it just feels more personal on a different level that I can't really get to on TikTok. And so I've been, today I posted like 13 reels or something. I'm just like trying to get used to it. I haven't really slept. I've been sleeping on them.
I noticed that you posted like old ones from TikTok that were probably good performers. That's sort of so where my head at is with short video content is that every single platform, and I'm going to say this on every single show, I used to kind of think it was like a fad. All right, that vertical short form stuff, that's a fad. But now you look at it, every single platform is putting millions and millions of dollars to compete against the other platforms that are making that short form vertical content. Snapchat, YouTube.
Yeah, Snapchat,
Instagram, TikTok. I bet you, you know, right, I know Twitter has fleets. Eventually, they're they're gonna figure out how to optimize it. LinkedIn's gonna figure out how to optimize it. What my approach is, and I think that you've done a good job too, that the way I create content is that it's evergreen. So those shorts, the one that you made about moving out, that's gonna apply 1 year from today. Where a lot of the people that do like the real-time trend commentary, that's not going to work in a year. So we're literally creating assets for platforms in the future that we don't even know that we're going to be able to use them for.
Yeah, that's smart actually. And I haven't really thought of it like that. But yeah, that's very true. And it's also with like keeping on from that. If you are creating evergreen content, I find that followers don't even mind if like a couple months later you recycle the same idea, maybe you improve it, put it in a different way, and you just put out basically a similar video. And that's what I did actually recently. I just, especially with like the moving out one, I made it again slightly differently, instantly 3 million views in a day, boom, again. So
really?
It worked. Yeah,
what 3 million in a day. About it? What was different about it?
I added a few more laws in that I probably should have added on the first one. And then I made it a bit, I switched the style instead of, the first time it was like a random person asking Noah. This time I made it more of like a comedy sketch where the son tells his dad that he's moving out. And I think people kind of like that. So yeah. So, and then
that's
I put
a good hook.
So I was like, dad, I'm moving out. And then the dad replies, that's illegal, you have to be 18. And then he replies, actually no, if you do it this way, boom, you can do it. Kid, like, people love it my age.
Honestly I love it, man. I love your format. So talk about how you think about hooking the audience in that, because on TikTok, probably more than any platform, that first 2 seconds is critical. So when you're writing, is that kind of like something you're optimizing for and you're thinking about first?
You want your audience to be a bit confused at the beginning, I think, because and take them into a problem that they feel like they have to watch the full video to resolve. It might not be that long, but if you're creating an issue at the start, through maybe something confusing or something that grabs their attention, then they'll naturally just want to watch until the end. So, for example, on that moving out video, we've got the dilemma between the dad and the son saying, I'm moving out. No, you're not. They want to know what's going to happen, but they're also interested because this relates to me. So you basically just want to do something like that. But I feel like with a conversation, it's easier to get a good hook at the beginning. But it's important for any creator out there to realize your hook should never be, hey guys, it's Noah here. We'll be back with another video today. Today we're going to be explaining, because people, at the end of the day, it sounds harsh, but people will judge you instantly and they'll be like, I've never seen this guy. I don't really care about what he has to say. But if you're just instantly starting with something funny, something that grabs their attention, just be creative with how you start. That's the main thing. You just got to be creative and do something different. Basically, give them a reason not to scroll and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And now talk to me about the, you know, as a younger guy, actually any age. But I feel like when I was your age, I was pretty insecure. And if someone said a comment that really got to me, I would just delete the whole app and like not make a video for a year. So tell me how you think about that. Like, have you developed thick skin around that? And is that something that you grow over time?
You do. Like, I'd say I've learned so much through the TikTok journey. I'm definitely a lot more sure of myself now than I was at the beginning. Because at the beginning, for example, it was in lockdown. And I couldn't get a haircut. The hairdressers were shut for months and months here. Mm. And I looked terrible when I was making content. Even when I had my biggest viral videos, I had like this massive mop on my head. And like people would comment saying like, who is this overgrown Justin Bieber sort of guy from 2020, I don't know, 2010 or something. And it was a bit embarrassing. But I'm glad I still just kept on going and I didn't really care about my appearance too much. Because if I just was like, oh, I'll just wait until the hairdresser's open, I would have never been here right now. And if I'd listened to because I did get a lot of hate originally at the beginning. But it's funny now because I'm getting messages from people who were like, I thought your TikTok was stupid at the beginning, but now I've seen you surpass a million. I'm like, okay, this guy's actually onto something here. And it's even like some people from my school were like, oh nah, this is jokes, Noah's doing TikTok, it's cringe, it's a cringe app. Now they're I've literally had them message me when I hit a mil saying, bro, I know I was like this at the beginning, but now it's actually pretty cool. And I'm like, okay.
How do you respond?
I just try to be nice. Yeah. I just go, thanks, bro. I don't steep on it too much. Like, just good vibes, really. Because, go ahead.
No, I got nothing. I mean, I think the point there is you had the vision and you didn't care who couldn't see that because they were wearing different, had different views of the world, had different glasses on. Yeah. You had a vision of like what was possible. And you did a fascinating, a fantastic job of just blocking everyone out and just going for it. And I admire that, my man. Now you're building the audience. Have you thought about do you do anything as far as how you're bringing that audience onto other platforms and not like a social platform, but more. Whether it's one-to-one communication with like getting people's phone numbers or emails, are you doing any landing page?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. So like, I'll be honest, I don't really think I am. Like, I would probably like to get. I personally feel like the email would be the worst thing for my demographic because before TikTok, I would never check my email. Now I have to because of brand deals and whatnot, but people hate it.
My man, my age. Talk so, big, let's go.
So, like, I'm.
Yeah, that was a low key flex.
Yeah, like no. But like, even now, I'm like useless with emails. I still don't know how to properly like.
I check my email when there's a couple commas in there.
no. But it would be cool if there was like a widespread sort of messaging service like Instagram DMs. But yeah, I don't know if you've got any suggestions for me. I'm all ears, because it would be good to get people in.
Yeah. Well, I think that you're getting into the probably the stage of life where people will use email more, and email is something that people will like, because you know people get into real jobs. They it's more of an official way of communicating across the board, and it's like the oldest besides. It's actually probably predates texting. Email. I might be wrong, but like email is gonna be around. Right. So it's in like the teaching world, you know, the whole goal is to get people on your email list, because that's where the most selling happens. Now, not at 16, 17, 18, probably more, you know, like a little later. But I think I haven't delved into it, and that's why I was asking. Is I know Gary V's big on it, and a couple other people are getting people to submit their phone numbers and being part of like a text community. And I didn't know how that was working.
Yeah, I feel like if there were to be one, I'd preferably like it to be a phone number sort of thing, because anything on phone number that's text, I've always preferred to have, even if it's just like a brand communicating through that. We'll see. I think I should do something actually. That's a good
idea. Yeah. Well, I know that there's a couple platforms. I've talked to a couple founders of companies that are built for creators, because they know that that is a big challenge, is that whenever we're on someone else's platform, we're basically renting space. We're renting space on TikTok, on Instagram. And until we have this audience in a world where we can communicate directly with them, a couple of weeks ago, my Instagram got hacked and like I couldn't communicate with people. And I realized like how vulnerable we are when like we just, you know, kind of like give all of the control to another platform. So I think that's something to think about in the future as you're continuing to build the audience. I don't know exactly the best way to go about it, so that's why I was asking you. But it's definitely something to think about. Now you did bring up brand deals. Tell me. I don't know. You can go into as little or as much detail as possible. Tell me how you're thinking about that. So now you got this audience. Now there's a business here, and you can monetize. How are you approaching brand deals?
Yeah. Okay. So it's interesting with the brand deals, because it's something I didn't really have much experience in until my TikTok started to really gain momentum. I'd done like a few small ones, but nothing massive. So now like I've realized now I've been probably underselling myself for brand deals, basically charging too little. But then again, like I've grown very quickly, so it's hard to kind of justify how much I should charge. And I've talked to different people. There's very little guidance, more on Instagram than TikTok, on what to actually charge for companies. But I feel like there's a movement at the moment, and this is why it's great to be a creator, where brands are actually discovering TikTok and realizing it's a good way to get promotion and exposure. So a lot of companies are chucking money at you for brand deals. So it's good to be on. So I've like worked with some, like one reputable company that pops to mind that I've been working with is ZipRecruiter, and they're the biggest sort of job recruitment one in the US. So that's one that I've worked with, and that's like been my biggest brand deal to this date. And
did they reach out to you?
Yeah, all the brand deals that I've done, I haven't reached out to anyone. It is something that I'm considering doing, maybe like some companies that I like. But I've had like a fair few companies just email me directly for brand deals.
Where do they find your email? It emails in the description.
So I have I bought like a noahbriley.com, and I made a shortcut one called biz@noahbriley.com or business@noahbriley.com. I've got a few, and I just chucked it in my TikTok bio and on my Instagram contact, and that's where they've been getting in touch from, and it works well.
Well, ZipRecruiter is a big company. How many followers were you at when they initially reached out?
I think I was only on like 600 or 500,000. at the time, maybe even less, because it was quite a while ago, and it was it felt very big to me, because like I had and all of my
big. That is big, man.
Yeah, all of my deals that I have to like run through my dad. And I was like, so I run, because I don't really know too much about some of these companies, so he can verify, see if they're reputable or not. Legit, I sent him it, and I was like, should I offer him this price? And then he said, no, I've seen this company work on, work with different podcasts and loads of the stuff that I listen to, offer them this price. And I was like, Dad, they're never going to accept that. I offered him it, and they literally instantly replied back saying, yeah, that fits in our budget. And I was like, okay, there's actually like... if this TikTok thing can work, like I was like, damn, this
let's
is more
go.
Yeah, because like for my age, I'm like, okay, this is like it's not like enough maybe to live on full time, but for my age it gives me a comfortable bit of money. And now I'm on a million. Like, that was back when I had like 500, so it might even be more now, who knows. But yeah, so well, it's cool though. It's like
Yeah. For your, like, it's funny, man. What brands want to do is they want the, like, I talked about it on TikTok, but like, they're literally buying the relationship that you have. They know that they can't build a relationship with an audience the way that you can. So that is a, like, your dad's very right. Like, you charge more, and maybe next time even go further. Hey.
Prices exactly.
went up. Prices went up. Yeah. And I heard this from someone. I heard this from someone. I don't know how you feel about it, but like, I talk to a lot of creatives. I work with a lot of artists, and this is something that someone pushed me on.
Yeah.
When I was like doing prices, one as a freelancer, but then also working as a creator myself, is if they agree to the first number that you gave to them, then you didn't price high enough, right? Because they all have a number in mind, and like, listen, like they'll be honest with you. They'll say, hey, you know, that's not in our budget. Can you do here? And then you're like, all right, cool, yeah, I can do there. But it's good to get your feet wet with the first couple and just get in there, get the bag, and like build a relationship. Like, you want to build a relationship. But in the future, man, you're in a position where you have a lot of leverage, and it's really cool to see. Now, in the creative brief, working with these teams, do they tell you exactly what to do, or do they, a lot of them, just give you the freedom to just run with it?
It's varied, really. Like, working with ZipRecruiter, because they're a big company, they'll send you like a full, like many, like, first of all, you've got to sign a really long contract, which is like a bit of a headache for me, just because I'm like, I'm young and I don't really understand this.
You just like close your eyes and just like whatever.
So I got my dad to do the reading of it and all that.
You had to like legally change your name to know ZipRecruiter and like
it was all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I had to do that, and then they do send you like a brief, but it's like a PowerPoint of like basically various things that you want to do. And in fairness, like it was very, very free and creative. There were lots of like things that you couldn't mention, like other competitors, and very specific things. You couldn't use copyrighted music. That everything had to be very perfect, because obviously they're putting money into this. So, you know, you'd have to submit it for approval. They'd come back from the legal team, say, oh, you need to change this, you need to change that. And it's been an interesting experience for me, really, trying to like work with different companies and get the videos right on both sides. So I've got the creative part, but also the essential parts that they need in, while also trying to make it like fun and pop for the algorithm at the same time. Some are like are really chill, and they'll just go like, they don't send me a brief. They're just like, you know, do whatever you want, we trust you. And others will be like, you need to mention this point, this point, this point, tag us here, tag us there. So yeah, it varies with the companies, really.
And is it only a TikTok video, or do any of them say we want you to do it on Instagram too?
Some have said, can you post it on your Instagram story as well? And I'm fine to do that. But mainly at the moment it's TikTok, and hopefully if I can grow the Instagram, it will be Instagram too.
When you post it, how does your audience usually respond to them?
They like, a few people go like, they'll get annoyed because it's like a brand deal, and they're like, oh my days, what is this? But then at this, like, you've made a video about this, and I think this is the first video I saw of you. Like, it's basically like they're paying this company that are paying for my brand deal are paying for my followers' Netflix subscription to my account because they're getting this free. Yep. And
exactly.
At the same time, I've refused a lot of brand deals because they're just pretty scammy.
They don't
would
make
pay
sense.
A lot.
Yeah.
They don't make sense for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I've had loads of people literally just commenting saying, "Secure the bag, Noah. We love to see it." You know, like my guy, and they'll say, you know, like they'll comment for the algorithm, and I'm like, that's when you know you've got the real fans there, because they're like they're wanting you to win. So but yeah, like, and to be honest, I don't think many people care too much or as much as
they
you
don't.
Think no like people
I,
overthink
I think especially your yeah I think your age group, they're actually more supportive because they see it. It's like usually more built into the content. It makes sense. Like, oh yeah, I get free content from him all the time. I know that he, you know, this is part of the process.
Let's
engage with it. Okay. Here's a question. You brought this up. Three people on, or you said that you get some inspiration from other TikTokers. You see other people's style. Who are three people that you admire their style? If there's three off top.
Firstly, let's go. It's quite a lot. Okay. We'll start with a guy called Milan. I think I'm pronouncing his name right. He makes kind of similar videos I'd say out of all the TikTokers, he's the one who's also found a niche very similar to mine. And what's beautiful about TikTok is we follow each other so we can message. And we've got to the point now where we'll give each other video ideas and we'll both make them and make them differently, but in our own style. So we're literally copying each other's viral content and it's working. So he's like probably my number one guy. Then you've got, I'm going to have to probably mention more than three, but one guy called Mentally Great, similar to me. He does like more of the mindset sort of stuff. But I looked at how he grew with the conversation style videos. Another guy called Josh Otusania. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Might be wrong there. But he does sort of like psychological sort of tricks, a bit of comedy with it as well. His videos are done amazing. Another guy called Jats, who does videos about sort of like money, business, mindset. And I actually grew with him. We basically have stayed at the same amount of followers for our whole journey. So like me, he was stuck on 50K for a while. He actually blew up a little bit before me. I saw quite a lot of other people as well in my sort of friendship group on TikTok start to blow up. It was all their time. And I was like, I'm falling behind a bit. But then I blew up as well. And now both me and Jats are on 1.3 or 2. And yeah, he does sort of videos about, you know, money and stuff like that. So I've had ideas from him. And yeah, there's just a bunch of people really who I found. But like, it's not just that. I'll find videos from like YouTube. I'll find video ideas from like YouTube comments and stuff like that. It's like the most bizarre things.
Yeah. So you mentioned something that I firmly believe in is you sort of have like a support group. You're able to bounce ideas with these guys that have similar goals. Similar visions. Tell me how that's shown up and why that's important to have.
Yeah. So firstly, like it's great because it means everyone's cool with just, magpieing is what they call in school in the UK, where you like copy, but you're putting your own spin on it. But what we're all starting to do now, because it's worked for other people, is we'll actually film clips of like conversation and send them to each other. So we're like collabing from different households, which is something that I'm going to be doing a lot more of, because number one, it's great because you get people in your video, but you're cross-pollinating your fan bases as well. But it's amazing because like calling other people who are on the same journey as you and just like discussing, oh, this is how I do it, this is what I'm doing here, this is who I'm working with. It's great. And if you can get kind of like connected with people on TikTok, and it's very easy to do, it's great. Like, one guy called, there's a guy who makes, TikTok videos, and he's just a Subway worker, and he makes these videos. He followed me and I followed him. We stay connected. He's blown up to like 5 million followers, and he just makes Subway content from his parents' store. He now makes more than his parents just making TikTok videos on Subway. And it's like, I've literally grown up and seen his journey, and he's seen mine. And it's like, it's crazy. He's called, Milad, I think. Yeah. So it's cool. Like, the community's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to have people that are like, they get the obstacles that you need to go over. You know, I think a lot of people, and that's the beauty of what you're talking about here is, I made a video about this. A lot of people think like going to networking events is like the best way to network, like go out and like, at, like that kind that works to a degree, but the best way I feel to attract like-minded individuals is to build in public. And in a content creator's world, building in public is publishing content. And you've published content, and as a result, you've developed this little brain trust of people where you can, like, you know, mesh ideas. You can bounce stuff off of each other, and you're all getting better. I mean, look at us.
Yeah,
we know each other from TikTok, right? Like, I'm learning all of this insightful information from you know, someone like has a whole different perspective view of the world, and I think that's the beauty of being a storyteller online in our day and age. And I want to make an argument. I want to see what you think about this.
Okay,
TikTok before this year, maybe even still.
Yeah,
in most people's eyes, it's just it's just twerking. It's just people dancing. It's like, you know, people being showing more or showing you know, a little bit more than what's appropriate. That's how the world sees it. And I think TikTok is actively trying to promote and push creators who are on the other side of that now. People like you that are more impact driven, that are teachers. I see teaching TikTok as a huge lane for people right now, because I feel like that makes TikTok look better. It does from the outside looking in. It makes the brand of TikTok look better. So I feel like it's a place. So make a case. So say someone's a 42-year-old surf instructor, and he's hesitant about getting on TikTok and to build his business. What would you say to him?
Okay, so you're 42-year-old surfing instructor. Well, yeah, firstly, you've got to realize, look, TikTok is no longer just a kid's app. I remember the first time, it was one of my mates, I really got into TikTok. He was like, yo, I've seen this great guy, he's called Poku Banks, and he makes all this great content about money and business. I went home, I looked him up, and then I was like, this is TikTok. What I thought it was just dancing and singing and everything like that. And I was like, I'm actually learning a lot of stuff here, and I'm consuming so much because I'm just scrolling and I'm getting the next fact, the next fact, the next fact. I think I watched like maybe 100 videos that night, all of Poku Banks. And I was like, this is genius, because I like YouTube, but this is actually something I can manage. And if you are a surfing instructor, you might not have the craziest amount of time to post long form content on YouTube. And it is it's a grind. Like, I tried it for a very long time, and it was hard, because you just have to stay consistent with it on YouTube for a very long time, and it takes so much more work. But with TikTok, you're not having to plan out a full length video. You're just making short little snippets, so it's more manageable. And the reach that you're going to get on TikTok compared with YouTube or any other, well, to be fair, we're getting it with YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, all of the ones now. But for some reason, short form content, the organic growth is like it's just crazy. It's like, you would have never got this opportunity ever.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's just, yeah, I can't even describe how much you need to take advantage of it. People will literally post a video on TikTok, it's their first or second video, and they'll hit a million views, get 100,000 followers. I've seen it so many times. So, like, just get on TikTok. you look at what other people are doing. If you're a surfing instructor, basically see who are the successful surfing instructors, what makes them different from the other guys. And yeah, just get on, get people interested. You'll find, you'll be surprised, actually. It's what happened with me. I was surprised. I think I nothing can explain the feeling. I uploaded my third video and it hit 1,000 views. And I thought, wow, it's been an hour and it hit 1,000 views. That's insane. And now I look at that now and I think that's pretty standard. But like at the time it was crazy. So TikTok will surprise you. If you put the effort in, it will give you a lot of return, and you'll just be surprised. I've seen people, there's this one guy in Ireland and he has a sweet business. He's done zero paid advertisements. He does it all from TikTok and he doesn't even put that much effort into his TikTok videos. He just makes them fun. He's honest. If someone like makes a comment that says, you messed up my order, he'll reply to it and goes, sorry, mate, my bad. Here's a refund. And he'll publicly put it all out there. Yet he's making tens of thousands already just through TikTok. So it's like, it's an opportunity you need to get on. So yeah, get on TikToks, do your surfing videos and you'll smash it.
Sold. So, all right, I got a couple more questions and we'll go wrap it up. What is one thing that you believe about what it takes to be successful on social media that others may disagree with you on?
Ooh, what it takes to be successful on social media. Okay, you've got to. So some people say don't focus on the views, and while it's important to not solely focus on the views, you have to adjust your content so you can still keep the message. But if you are just going to keep posting in your way and say stay set in stone, you're not going to reach more people. And you've got to think, maybe make a sacrifice on your own creative end, that you feel like, oh, like if I change the video, it's not going to be as authentic. Make that change, because in the end you're going to be reaching more people. So while it is important not to solely focus on the views, you do need to look at your analytics and you do need to come at it with a business mind and think, actually, yeah, I'm trying to do this with a purpose, but I also need to do this with a business plan here, and think, you know, this isn't working. I should probably adjust my content. So just don't stay set in stone. Basically, that's what I'd say. You might disagree. You might say, just do it all through passion. But I personally think that won't quite work.
Well, here's the deal. I agree with you, and I'm an example of a person that used to think that way. I used to say, oh, you know, it doesn't, I don't care about the algorithm. I don't care about any of that. I'm going to do me and people will respond to it.
Yeah.
But I realized after a couple of years of doing that, because like when I first started, it was like early on YouTube and people were just kind of winning. There was no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. Then there was more of a rhyme or reason. You had to play the game a little bit. And I was like, I don't care about thumbnails. Yeah. I don't care about titles. And my videos flopped as a result. And so eventually I was like, all right, I adopted the mindset of more of a business mindset. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, the goal is to make an impact on people. The goal is to help people thrive. The goal is to give people insights that's going to, you know, give them a little bit more confidence when it comes to the things that they're creating. And if it's not getting in front of people, it's not doing its job. So that's part of the process. And I think that's a great point. You shouldn't base all of your self-confidence on how many views you're getting, but they should be a metric that tells you whether or not you're going in the right direction or not.
Yeah, that's important though. Don't like base your confidence on views, because like say you've got a great period where you're winning and then all of a sudden they drop, and that does happen. You don't want to look at yourself any different. You're still just as important, and I people can get obsessed with it. It's not a big deal.
So I think I'm about to hit my highest video.
All right, on TikTok.
I have your on TikTok. I'm telling you, I'm about to log in. I think I'm going to hit 100,000 on a video by the time. Wait, let's see. Oh, I'm at 98. Dude, I'm telling you, my highest video before that was my highest video before that was 26,000. I'm at 98.4, all right? So it's a video. It was 15 seconds long.
Yeah.
It took me – it was probably one of the shortest videos it ever took for me to take. I've gotten hundreds of followers. My question to you is, because, you know, the person that's listening to this is going to get to this point where they have one video that does well. In my head right now, I'm thinking, I shouldn't post because then it's going to pull attention away from this one. So, like, is there, like, a time period? So after a video like this, should I – or should I just continue to full court press it and keep posting and posting? Like, or should I wait a day or two before I post again?
It's simple. Just keep – like, people say wait. I'd say don't.
TikTok doesn't care?
Keep posting. Because you'll see I've uploaded a ton of videos in the last few days, and I've had literally, like, two or three next to each other that have got a couple million views, and then the next day I post some more, couple million views, or couple hundred thousand views. I don't think that's true. If anything, I feel like the followers that you're getting now will appreciate more content, because you've got to keep them now. You've got to get them interested, get them excited, inspired.
Okay.
So I'd say don't slow down.
Okay. Don't waffle. No waffling.
Don't waffle as well. Yeah, that's the main thing. That's the biggest thing on TikTok. No waffle. Keep it engaging, keep it exciting, and you'll be good.
Okay, so is there anything that I didn't ask you that you would like me to ask you?
Is there anything? No, we
could save it for a part two. You know.
Yeah, I feel like a part two must definitely happen. But if you're someone looking to get into short form content, the main tips that we've shared today are the ones that I wish I would have known when I started, and I probably would have grown a lot quicker. So yeah, it's valuable stuff. So take it, use it, and smash it with short form content or whatever you're doing.
This has been a masterclass from someone who has over 1.2 million followers on TikTok in less than a year. So my question is, that was a year, right? My question is, next year, a year from today, what is a win? What is a success that you are the most proud of in a year from today? Okay. What can you say is something that a win when it comes to your content creation, your storytelling, that you're most proud of?
Probably, in like a year's time, it's probably not about quite about the followers, but I'd like to develop my videos in a way where they become more like, I don't know, documentary style, like filmmaking style, because I'm quite into that sort of stuff. A bit like how you do it, and I think that's why you grab my attention. But I'd like to, like, ultimately in the end, I'd love to do something where, like, create a series or a film or something. So if I can become more creative and maybe, like, do some more projects like that, possibly even grow like a personal thing where, you know, I'm doing stuff about my life, because I do have a really small account with 10,000 followers. Don't even try on it, but that account I did, one of the ones was just one of documenting me and my mates. We tried fasting for one day for Ramadan to support our Muslim mate in our school. That video, I didn't expect it to do too well, but it got like 360,000 views. More stuff like that as well I want to do, just kind of like content that has a lot of meaning behind it, and that inspires people. So if I can do anything like that, that'd be great as well.
Awesome. Building out a team at all, maybe bringing an editor on so you can double down a little bit.
It will. I do feel like I'm going to need to bring in some editors or something to help. I will definitely do that. And like your idea with batching and then sending to an editor, something like that, it'll be great.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm planning on right now. I'm talking to editors now, and And I realized that, like, that's the only thing that, like, I'm good at it, but I also think anyone can do it. Like, if you hire, there's a lot of people that don't want to be on camera that are just really good editors, and that's where I'm at now. Maybe we can collaborate and work with the same editor or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let me know, let me know.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, man. Yo, this is so much fun. I'm excited to continue to collaborate and watch the videos. Man. I'm really interested about the concept, the collaborative concept, where you film one side and you work with the other people. I think that's brilliant. I might experiment with that a little bit myself. But yo, so much fun. Excited to watch your content. You're a freaking whiz, man.
Thank you.
I really think that you're doing, as an impact-driven creator, someone you're providing a lot of value for. Millions of people now, and it's really cool to see, and you're doing it from your home with your ideas, and it makes it very, very apparent that if you put in the time, if you put in the focus, it's possible for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, man, cool. Well, thank you so much. I like every time I talk to you, I learn so much as well, man. So keep it up, and I'm excited to see where this podcast goes.
Dope. Noah, have a beautiful night, my man. Or day.
Thank you, man.
On the way. It's in London. It's nighttime, right?
It's 11:13 at night. So, probably chill for a bit and go to bed. All right. Thank you, man. All right, see you later.
Yeah, thank you so much.